Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 38 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
A Lexington man is charged with murder after police say he shot his brother.
Arrests have been made in the Roden family murder case.
Officials are reminding people to ensure their furnaces are working properly this winter.
A new report suggests Kentucky kids in foster care aren't getting the help they need.
A tribute to 1970s rock takes place at the Moorhead Conference Center tonight.
In sports, MSU volleyball wins the first round of the OVC Championship.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
An 80% chance of rain and snow, lows around 30 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Lexington police say a man is charged with murder after killing his older brother this morning. Police say 26-year-old Timothy Coffey shot and killed his older brother after 9 a.m. following an argument at a home on Crissy Way. According to WKYT, detectives arrested Coffey after finding him on Pearson Drive. His 28-year-old brother was pronounced dead at the scene.
A prosecutor says no one will face criminal charges for the failed response to a 16-year-old Ohio student who died trapped in a minivan parked near his school. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters says his office has reviewed the Cincinnati Police and Hamilton Sheriff's Office investigations and two independent reviews that were contracted by the city. Dieters expressed sympathy Thursday to Kyle Plush's family while announcing no charges were appropriate in the case. A special city council committee meeting Thursday went over the outside reports on the emergency center and police responses. Plush's family took part in the meeting. Plush's father, Ron, found his son dead, pinned in the minivan's rear on April 10th, nearly 6 hours after the first of Kyle's two 911 calls.
George Wagner III was arrested in Lexington when authorities pulled over his vehicle and horse trailer Tuesday. Wagner, along with wife Angela Wagner and sons George and Edward Wagner, are accused of being the ones behind the Roden family murders in 2016. Pike County, Ohio Sheriff Charles Reeder and Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine recount what happened 2 years ago.
At this time, I can confirm that we have 8 bodies in this county. All were adults except for one male juvenile.
Each one of the victims appears to have been executed. Each one of the victims appears to be shot in the head.
All 4 are eligible for the death penalty. Prosecutors say the legal process will be lengthy, and an indictment is only the beginning of the case.
A man succumbed to his injuries after being hit by a car in Lexington. According to WKYT, 47-year-old Juan Garcia was injured Wednesday morning on Versailles Road. Police initially said Garcia's injuries did not appear to be life-threatening, but he later died in the hospital. The Fayette County coroner says his official cause of death is pending an autopsy. No charges have been reported in this case.
A student at a Mercer County school is facing a terroristic threatening charge after police say the individual made a bomb threat. According to WKYT, Harrodsburg police were called to the Mercer County school's bus garage Wednesday evening after receiving a report of a bomb threat. Roads in the area were blocked for approximately 1 hour as police investigated. Authorities determined a student made the threat and was cited for terroristic threatening. The child was released to parents as directed by a county court-designated worker.
Kentucky State Police say allegations of possible animal abuse in Pike County turned out to be unsubstantiated. Photos of a dead horse on social media prompted the investigation. One photo depicted a horse tied up in a yard on Road Fork. Another showed the same horse lying dead in the same yard. Trooper William Petrie spoke with EKB News.
A trooper responded. At the time when he got there, the horse had been buried. It had passed away and been buried. The owner had tied it up to a different pole to keep it away from his other horses because he was afraid it was going to be contagious maybe. The trooper checked all the other horses he had. They all seemed to be well-fed and taken care of. So at this point, it just appears to be a sick horse that passed away.
Petrie says he doesn't anticipate any charges being filed in the case.
Officials are reminding people to ensure their furnaces are working properly after a house fire in Nicholasville. WKYT reports no one was injured, but multiple people have been displaced after a fire began in a duplex today. Investigators believe an electrical issue with the building's furnace started the blaze. According to the National Fire Protection Association, heating is the second leading cause of home fires in the United States. Moreover, heating fires are most common during the winter months. We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center presenting the 34th Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. A holiday tradition and open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Moorhead. More than 100 regional vendors of handmade arts and crafts, antiques, seasonal ornaments, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Kentucky kids in foster care aren't getting the help they need, according to new data. That data comes from a report by the Annie E. Casey Foundation and outlines things that need attention in the foster care system. Research suggests moving children in and out of foster care placements and leaving foster care without being part of a permanent family can create barriers to well-being for the children. Nikki Thornton with True Up in Louisville says the biggest thing community members can do is spread awareness about the situation, and this data gives people a chance to do just that.
Our community cannot help them or help us as advocates if they don't know the need, if they don't really understand that just because on paper it looks really good, but if they don't really understand all these other misses, there is a real need to help our foster youth. And I think a lot of people in our community would want to do that if they just knew.
Over 30% of foster care children in Kentucky are between the ages of 14 and 18, and nearly 70% of those kids will age out of foster care. Thornton says children in foster care are more likely to suffer through transitions into adulthood without adults to help guide them.
Governor Matt Bevin is speaking in defense of a state law being challenged in the federal courts that bans a specific abortion procedure. The law prohibits a second trimester procedure called dilation and extraction. Lawyers with the American Civil Liberties Union are representing the state's only abortion clinic in the lawsuit. The governor had this to say.
The ACLU flies people in from another state to fight for the torture and murder of small children.
Advocates for abortion rights say the procedure is the most common and safest form of second trimester abortions. The trial is expected to last through the week.
A new report warns some of Kentucky's recent educational gains may be in jeopardy. Data from the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence suggests the state is in danger of losing momentum on preschool enrollment in elementary and middle school reading and math. Pritchard Executive Director Bridget Ramsey says the declines may have something to do with a series of shifting accountability standards and education reforms over the last decade.
So in 2008, we were still under the Kentucky Education Reform Act. In 2009, a new bill passes and the Unbridled Learning Accountability Model was developed. And then in 2017, a new bill passes and we're now implementing a third accountability model under the federal ESSA legislation.
The Pritchard numbers show Kentucky dropped from 24th in the country in preschool enrollment in 2008 to 41st in 2018. It also indicates that in fourth grade reading, an area that had seen improvements, the state slipped from 8th in 2016 to 17th in 2018.
The Moorhead State University Rock Ensemble's 70s tribute show takes place tonight. WMKY's Peyton Stewart has the story.
Commercial music students at Moorhead State University have been gearing up all semester for a show that takes place tonight. The We're an American Band concert is a tribute to 1970s rock and roll. Concert goers can expect to hear a variety of tunes from the Eagles, the Doobie Brothers, America, Grand Funk Railroad, and more. The concert will be held at 7 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center. Admission is $5 or free for MSU students with a student ID. For WMKY News, I'm Peyton Stewart.
The ninth installment of the Masters Spelling Bee will take place in Moorhead on November 16th. Once again, this year, it will be held at Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in downtown Moorhead. Bookstore owner Grant Alden says a few dozen participate each year.
Ostensibly, the purpose of the Spelling Bee is to raise money for Round County Storybook Christmas. But really, it's just to have fun. It's open to anybody 12 and over willing to donate $5 to Round County Christmas. And then you have to have a certain amount of courage to stand up in front of people and spell on live radio.
The age requirement has been dropped to include those 12 and up so that more people are encouraged to show up and participate.
Floyd County health officials are holding a walk-in hepatitis A clinic for high-risk individuals. The clinic is taking place Friday and Monday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. People considered high risk and eligible for vaccinations at the clinic are either homeless, IV drug users, or people with close personal contact to someone who is an IV drug user. Those who have been exposed to or have contact with someone who has hepatitis A, or chemotherapy patients, or others who are immune compromised. Health officials said most insurance will cover the Hep A vaccine and ask people to bring a copy of their insurance cards to the clinics. Those considered high risk but do not have insurance will not be charged.
According to Second Chance Mission's Facebook page, the store was fined $10,000 and may be forced to close. The ministry said it was fined because donations were dumped behind the building and into the creek that runs nearby. This appears to be happening because people are dropping off donations when the store's closed. The donations are left outside the building where other people can come and sift through the items, taking what they want and dumping what they don't want behind the building. A spokesperson for the organization said the mission may be forced to close if the issue continues. Workers are there Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. to accept donations. The store has asked for coats, blankets, tents, sleeping bags, and other cold weather items as winter draws closer. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight an 80% chance of rain and snow before 9 p.m. with lows around 30 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny with a high near 45. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low around 31. Mostly sunny skies on Saturday with a high near 52. Saturday night mostly cloudy with a low around 34. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. Sunday night, a 50% chance of rain showers before 5 a.m., cloudy with a low around 35. For your Monday, a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, partly sunny with a high near 44. And for your Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 28. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 44 degrees in Inez, 42 degrees in Ashland, 38 degrees here in Moorhead, and 35 degrees in Flemingsburg, Lexington, and Winchester.
On our feature segment this afternoon, a Northeast Kentucky lawmaker announced his bid for governor Wednesday. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
Democratic representative and minority floor leader Rocky Atkins was greeted with cheers of a packed house as he stepped on stage to announce his run for governor. Atkins held his campaign launch at the Moorhead Conference Center Wednesday night, where he promised to do more for working-class Kentuckians.
I will fight for the working families across this great commonwealth, for the men and women every day, rain or shine. They get up and they grab that dinner bucket and a hard hat and a pair of steel-toed shoes, and they gut it out, and they work hard, and they do it to put food on the table and a roof over their head. And I'm here to tell you right now that I will stand and fight back the way I have my entire legislative career against unfriendly policies that I know will drive down wages of hardworking people.
Atkins suggested he could do this by utilizing Kentucky's number one export to create job growth in eastern Kentucky.
Like those in the aerospace industry, which right now is Kentucky's number one export industry. It is not tobacco, it's not coal, it's not cars, it's not bourbon. Our number one export industry in the Commonwealth of Kentucky is an industry that I never thought I would talk about 12 years ago when I earmarked in the budget a place called the Space Science Center that is now graduating students to go into our number one export industry in Kentucky. The aerospace industry, an $11.7 billion industry, and we are educating them in this community.
Atkins mentioned he wants to help those who have lost their jobs find work and expand on the existing needs of the space science industry to move Kentucky forward.
When I talk about aerospace, that's just one of those areas where we're looking at advanced manufacturing. To be able to graduate out of the Space Science Center program with a master's degree in aerospace engineering and go straight into the workforce, that's one place. To be able to retrain that workforce, to be able to go back working on an assembly line, making pieces and parts to build planes and rockets around the world, and the spinoff of those industries to other types of industries that could come in all across Kentucky. What I want to see is a 21st century economy that produces a 21st century workforce.
Atkins' running mate, Stephanie Horn, is a lawyer and a member of the Franklin County Board of Education. She says the current governor's attitude toward public education made her want to join Atkins on the ballot.
It is imperative that all Kentucky children receive a high-quality education that unleashes their full potential and creativity. From our small towns to our big cities, it is the foundation of building a workforce for the 21st century.
Making a point to defend the teachers, Atkins touched on the administrators who marched and protested on the Capitol earlier this year, created from the backlash of the Bevin administration.
What happened to educators in Frankfort, Kentucky this last session? I will fight for the teachers and the public employees that marched in Frankfort who came there by the thousands. They came there by the thousands and they marched up Capitol Avenue and they came to defend their occupation and they came to defend a brighter future and the future of public education in Kentucky. I think that's worth fighting for. How about you?
Amanda Mason, a 6th grade language arts teacher from Round County Middle School, said that Atkins' stance on education and the pension is why she came out to support him.
Rocky Atkins has always been a huge supporter of public education, not only just with the pension issue this past year, but he's been an advocate for our students in the state of Kentucky for years, and that's extremely important to me, not only my profession, but my own children. And he's a fighter for us, and he's a wonderful man and a proud representation of Eastern Kentucky as well as Kentucky in general.
Atkins and Horn campaign slogan is Common Sense for the Commonwealth. The pair will be traveling the state, holding town hall-style meetings to see what constituents want to see from the gubernatorial hopefuls. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Logan Pemberton, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Round County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Eagles take the first round of the OVC volleyball tournament. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. Moorhead State Volleyball cruised to victory in the opening round of the 2018 Ohio Valley Conference Championship. The three-seeded Eagles swept the number 6 Red Hawks for 3 sets. OVC Player of the Year sophomore outside hitter Olivia Loheimer showed exactly why she earned the honor as she slammed home a match-high 18 kills. Redshirt senior middle blocker Jesse Watchman, also a first-team all-conference selection, stayed in lockstep, slamming home 14 kills of her own while also posting an exceptional hitting percentage. Moorhead State returns to action at the OVC Volleyball Championship tomorrow afternoon, taking on the winner of the day's second match between No. 2 Murray State and No. 7 UT Martin. Friday's match time is set for 3:30 p.m. and will be streamed live via ESPN+. Julius Dixon, a 6'7" forward who attends Fayetteville, Tennessee High School, will be joining the Moorhead State men's basketball program after signing his national letter of intent. He will be a freshman in 2019-20. Eagles head coach Preston Spradlin talks about the signing.
Really excited to add him. He's got great length from the wing spot, terrific shooter, tenacious defender, only beginning to scratch the surface on what kind of player that he can be. Great intangibles, checks a lot of boxes for us academically, great family, and we're super excited to add all that he brings to our family here at Moorhead State.
Dixon is a member of the EAB Tigers AAU program, where he averages 14 points and 4 rebounds per game while hitting 40% of his shots from the three-point line. He helped EAB win 3 Hoop Scene Tournament championships, including Bama Jam, Atlanta Jam, and Bob Gibbons Tournament of Champions. Moorhead State's men's basketball headed west on Wednesday as the Eagles took part in the Cheney Sub-Regional of the 2K Empire Classic this weekend. MSU faces Missouri Kansas City at 5:35 p.m. tomorrow at Eastern Washington's Reese's Court. The other game has the host EWU Eagles facing Green Bay Friday. The winners will play Saturday, with the losers taking part in the consolation contest. Regardless of Friday's outcome, if the Eagles play EWU, it will be at 6:15 on Saturday, while a matchup with Green Bay would be at 4:05 p.m. The MSU women's team hosts the Vinewood Farm Classic this weekend. The 2-0 Eagles take on Valparaiso tomorrow at 6:35 p.m., before facing off with Chicago State on Saturday at 5:05 and St. Francis Brooklyn at 4:05 p.m. on Sunday. All of the Classic will be available on the ESPN Plus app. Through two games, Kentucky's women's team has overwhelmed with talent, athleticism, and high-pressure defense. The Wildcats scored a pair of victories by 50 points or more to open the season, the first back-to-back wins by margins that large in school history. Encouraging as that start might be, head coach Matthew Mitchell won't find out where his team truly is until tonight.
Tough opponent in Virginia coming in to play us on Thursday night, and they have tremendous size, tremendous athleticism. They're aggressive. I'm so impressed with just their physical strength and ability to play physical basketball.
Kentucky hosts Virginia tonight at 8:30 p.m. at Rupp Arena. The Cavaliers are 0-1 on the season after falling to SEC powerhouse Mississippi State last week, but they're coming off a season in which they advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament. Green Bay travels to the Pacific Northwest tonight to take on the Seahawks. The Packers have won three straight against Seattle. Green Bay head coach Mike McCarthy talks about the challenge of defending Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson.
Big play is a big part of his game, and he can make all the throws. They do a really good job matching their run game to their, you know, their run action and move, quarterback movement packages. So that really fits his style. So he's definitely the focal point of that offense.
Both teams are in the middle of the pack in the NFC record-wise, and each needs a win to stay in contention. Kickoff from CenturyLink Field in Seattle is set for 8:20 p.m. tonight. The game can be seen on Fox and the NFL Network. Morehead State football wraps up its season on Saturday. It's senior day for the Eagles, who host the Drake Bulldogs at Jaynes Stadium. Head coach Rob Tenure talks about the challenges his team will face in its last game of the year.
They're a really good football team overall. Their defense obviously has been outstanding, one of the top defenses in the conference. And they're a really good football team, well coached. Of course, Rick and I coached together at Center College for a few years, and he's a special teams guy. They're really good in that area as well. And we're going to have our work cut out for us on senior day.
The Eagles are 3-7 on the year and hope to finish the season on a high note, having lost three straight coming into the game. Drake sits at 6-3 after earning hard-fought 13-10 win over Marist last Saturday. Senior day kickoff is set for 1:05 p.m. And finally, in sports on this Thursday afternoon, two of the top 4A football teams in the region match up tomorrow night in Paintsville. Johnson Central and Ashland Blazer are both 11-1 on the season. The Eagles are coming off a win over Scott County last week. Their only loss of the season was back in week one to Capital, West Virginia. The Tomcats are looking for redemption this weekend. Their only season loss was to Johnson Central back on October 19th when they fell 47-24. Ashland is coming off a 27-6 win over Harrison County on the road last week. The winner of Friday night's matchup will host the state semifinal game next Friday. Game time is set for 7:30 p.m. And that's it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football will have a senior celebration for their final home game of the season, hosting Drake on Saturday. Kickoff is 1:05 p.m. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The major stock indices snapped multi-day losing streaks as J.P. Morgan Chase led banks higher and iPhone maker Apple rebounded after dipping into bear territory earlier in the week. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were up 208.77, finishing at 208, or the Dow was up 208.77 points to finish at 25,289.27. The S&P 500 was up 28.62 at 2730.20, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 122.64 at 7259.03. As mentioned, the Dow helped out by both Apple and J.P. Morgan, which were up 2.5% apiece, and Caterpillar rose 3.4% as there appeared to be a thawing in the trade dispute between China and the United States today. Equities appeared to rally, in particular after a report said that the U.S. and China have doubled down on efforts to reach an agreement in the growing trade war at the Group of 20 meeting later this month. The NASDAQ was aided by strength in the so-called FANG stocks, with Google parent Alphabet adding 1.5% and Netflix gaining 1.1%. Financials were mostly up on the day as J.P. Morgan buoyed the big banks after famed investor Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway disclosed a new $4 billion stake in the company. Bank of America, which is also owned by Berkshire, rallied 2.5%, and the Spider S&P Bank ETF rose 1.7%. Walmart missed on revenue estimates in the third quarter, and the stock finished with a 1.9% drop. Also, home builders were very much pressured today as KB Homes sank 15%, and this came after the company cut its fourth quarter sales forecast. Peer home builder Pulte Group dropped 1.7%, while Toll Brothers dropped almost 6%. And Cisco shares rallied 5.5% today after the tech giant beat on both the top and bottom lines for the fiscal or for the first fiscal quarter. And Cisco reported revenue rose 7% as it takes action to mitigate the impact any future actions by the Trump administration's trade dispute with China might have on their business. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $56.55 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,213.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down today as the Stoxx 600 index dropped 1%. In the Far East, stocks were actually strong today with the Shanghai Composite up 1.38% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finishing up 1.75%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Cisco and 3M, while the worst performers were Walmart and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Arista Networks and Take-Two Interactive, while the worst performers were PG&E and Edison International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger down a quarter at $30.04, Anthem up $4.15 at $284.25, Marathon Petroleum up $1.54 at $65.38, Community Trust Bank up 93 cents at $45.75, Lowe's down $1.26 at $93.65, and CSX was up $1.72, finishing at $72.22. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight an 80% chance of rain and snow before 9 p.m., lows around 30 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 31. Going into your weekend on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 52. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 34. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. For your Sunday night, a 50% chance of rain showers before 5 a.m., cloudy with a low around 35. For your Monday, a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, partly sunny with a high near 44 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Naya Ndwaza, Peyton Stewart, Cody Robinson, Leanne Akers, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Chanasty Davis, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature story today came from WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.